Okay, so let's see. So maybe if we can get started, I'd like to welcome you to this EWO seminar. And today we have the great pleasure of having Dr. Mario Veja Pereira from Brazil. He's actually associated with PSR, and I guess he'll explain briefly about PSR. It's a very interesting and impressive organization that does consulting work in the area of energy systems. And just very briefly, something about Dr. Pereira. His degree is actually in electrical engineering. He obtained his bachelor's degree at the Pontifical Catholic University in Rio. And then he did his master's and PhD at COPPI. COPPI is the graduate school at the Federal University of Rio de Janeiro. And then after he obtained his degree, he's actually had experience in a number of places, including EPRI, the Electric Power Research Institute here in the States. He worked with Electrobras. He was also a professor at the Pontifical Catholic University. And in terms of his work, he's been involved, on the one hand, consulting, again, very widely, as we'll see, throughout many countries in the world, especially dealing also with issues related to regulations. But I think what obviously distinguishes him is the development of computational tools. He was actually a preliminary speaker of the recent symposium of stochastic programming that took place actually in Rio. And just to give you a little bit of a feel, type of tools that I've seen, you know, he's about to deal with hydrothermal dispatch, expansion models, portfolio investment type of models, and again, all of them in the area of energy, mainly electric power and actually also natural gas. He's a member of the Academy of Sciences in Brazil, and he's actually directed 20 master's and PhD students and has over 200 publications. So today, what he's going to do, he's going to talk to us about recent methodological and computational advances in stochastic power system planning. Okay? So Mario, welcome, and look forward to your talk. Thank you. Mario?
Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy to have the opportunity to present some of the results we have developed in stochastic optimization. This work was carried out with some PSR personnel that are listed here. And as mentioned, PSR is a consulting company. We have been working since 1987. There's a picture of where we are, and we have close to 60 people with 17 PhDs and 31 people with master in engineering optimization and other areas. This is a sample of the work we've been doing in this area. For example, we are providers of stochastic planning tools for the World Bank for the studies. We have been for 8 years now with price projection, electricity price projection in Nord Pool, which means that we model in detail all of Scandinavia and part of Europe to project electricity prices up to 3 years ahead. We have been doing transmission planning for the U.S., for the whole U.S. coast, and work in Asia and also in models and studies. And the two islands down there is just to show that life is not too hard. So we do planning of the islands in the Pacific. We have applied these stochastic planning tools to more than 70 countries directly, plus all the consulting companies which have used the models to do studies. And there is a range of countries with different systems going from fully thermal, such as Saudi Arabia, to predominantly hydro, as a lot of countries in Latin America and Asia. And for this presentation, I thought that I would present planning, how do we do, how we carry out expansion planning. And then I'll talk specifically about two of the modules of expansion planning, which is the probabilistic production costing model, that is how to calculate the operation costs associated to a given expansion plan. This is the SDP operation module. And the new stuff is what we call the analytical media cost function. And the other module is a multi-area supply reliability, in which we calculate the probability of having short-term supply problems, and then the new stuff is related to GPUs and some variance reduction. And the final, the end of the presentation, I'll show complete examples on how these expansion planning models are used and for some computation results. In a nutshell, what we do when we're doing planning for countries, and it's interesting to observe that even countries with very strong market-based schemes, they do a lot of planning. We want to determine the investment schedule, that is, for the next years, which plants are going to come in, thermal plants, hydro plants, renewables, and also transmission reinforcements for the next 15, 20 years. And the objective function is to supply energy in the most economic and reliable way. The economic dimension basically means that we want to minimize the sum of investment costs plus expected operation costs. And the reliability dimensions, depending on the type of system, you may have two different reliability targets. If you have a system in which you have a lot of storage and it depends on hydro and renewables, there is one dimension which you call energy shortage. It has to do with not having enough energy to supply the needs, and it ultimately translates into rationing. And the other dimension is interruption because you don't have peaking capacity, and that translates as blackouts. The way you represent and model these two supply problems is different. In the case of rationing, this is kind of somewhat predictable, months in advance, and it tends to last for a long time. It could be weeks or it could be even months. And you represent the economic losses associated with the rationing as an energy curtailment cost, which is usually represented as part of the probabilistic prediction costing. In the case of blackouts, they have much shorter durations, minutes, sometimes hours. They are much more unpredictable because, you know, equipment break suddenly. And we represent them as supply reliability constraints or supply reliability targets. And in mathematical programming terms, the expansion priming problem is formulated as a two-stage band decomposition. The investment module is a multi-stage integer programming model in which you represent the binary investment decisions along the planning periods, let's say 10 years or 15 years. And there are two operation modules. There is the, for a given trial expansion plan, there is the, what we call the operation module that calculates expected operation costs, including the penalties for failure in load supply, which is a multi-stage stochastic optimization problem. The steps in the probabilistic simulation are typically weeks or months with hourly or detail. And there is the multi-area reliability evaluation module. The operation module sends optimality cuts to the investment module, basically how much expected operation costs would change with different investment decisions. And the reliability module sends feasibility cuts, that is, how far I am from achieving the reliability supply targets. Let's look then at the operation module. As I mentioned, the time stages are weekly or monthly. The horizon is anything between 15 to 25 years. Within each weekly or monthly stage, we can aggregate the load blocks into typically 5 up to 21 load blocks, or we can go fully hourly, in case of week, 168, and in case of month, 130 hours. The generation is modeled in a fairly degree of detail. We, of course, have renewables, hydro, wind, solar, biomass, and so on. There is a lot of emphasis with the storage. In addition to hydro reservoirs and pump storage, there is generic storage that is varied, and also gas storage. The thermal plants, all types of thermal plants, combined cycle gas, open cycle gas, oil, nuclear, and so on. transmission network you can represent in an aggregated way, just as interconnections between main areas, or you can have a full transmission network represent in detail, and you can have a so-called DC formulation in which you worry about only active power, or a nonlinear AC in which also you take into account voltage. Loads can be price responsive, and you can have all of the constraints associated with the fuel production, fuel transfer constraints, the pipelines, and so on. And something that's becoming more important is what we call the water energy nexus. So there is a lot of competing uses for water, such as water supply, irrigation, flood control, and so on. One example of SDP application is the one I mentioned before, is the price forecasting for the Scandinavia region. Nord Pool is one of the largest pools in the world. And as I mentioned, we represent in detail all of the plants in Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and so on, plus interconnections with Europe. And this is what we call the fundamentalistic modeling. So from the physical modeling of the system operation, we derive a short-run marginal cost, and these short-run marginal costs are good proxies for the spot prices. So the model is run every week with forecasts for the next 2 years. And we have something like 400 subscribers to this service. In terms of the algorithm, the solution algorithm is the stochastic dual programming scheme, SDP, PSR, and I myself in particular were the developers of that methodology. And for those who are familiar with SDP, the main advantage of SDP is that we can kind of go around the curse of dimensionality. We can solve stochastic dynamic problems with very large dimensions, hundreds of state variables. And the algorithm is also, as we will see, very suitable for distributed processing. Which are the typical stochastic parameters represented? There is the uncertainty on the renewable production, so in particular uncertainty on hydric flows, uncertainty on the wind, solar, biomass. There are models that represent the spatial correlation between wind and hydro in particular, which have, in many countries, very complementary attributes. When it's a rainy season, it tends to have less wind and so on. And also, you can represent a macroclimatic event such as El Nino and snow melt and other, let's say, atmospheric phenomena. We can also represent uncertainty on fuel costs. Basically, this is done on Markov chains. This is called the hybrid SDP. So for some state variables, you use discretization, which is traditional stochastic dynamic programming. And for most of the other variables, you use the SDP modeling. And also, the same Markov chains are used to represent spot prices in markets. So you can, for example, have the Austrian utility bidding into the European market. First, you model the European market, represent the prices Markov chains, then you solve the bidding strategy of the Austrian utility using the Markov chain of the spot prices in Europe. In a very, very simplified way, this is what we call the optimizer dilemma. So if I'm the operator of a Brazilian system, for example, today, do I use my reservoirs or I don't use my reservoirs? If I decide not to use my reservoirs and then a lot of rainfall in the future, I'll have spillage, which is a pretty bad operation. In addition to wasting energy, I may even damage some things downstream. Or maybe it's actually a dry event, which is not genius because I have enough storage to supply the system in an efficient way. Or vice versa, if I decide to use my reservoirs and then it's a wet event, great, I fill up my reservoirs, I'm good. But maybe if I decide to use my reservoirs to save on some operation costs, and then it's a dry event, I'm in trouble. Of course, this typical decision tree, and for example, I could try to find a decision that would minimize the expected operation cost of all of these decisions over all the possible outcomes. As you know, the problem is that this is not two stages. Actually, the decision for next month then translates into a tree of 30 scenarios for the other month, which translates into a tree of 30 other scenarios for the next month. In a system with a large hydro, such as Brazil, the impact of the decision horizon may go up to 5 years. And if we think of a scattering problem with a five-year horizon and opening in 30 scenarios, which is actually what we do in practice, this would have an incredible tree. This is nothing new. And the traditional way of solving this problem is the stochastic dynamic programming. With the state space formulation, we decompose the problem in time stages. At each stage, then we have the immediate cost function, that is, how much would cost in terms of thermal plants to produce energy, and the remainder is supplied by hydro. And in the case of hydro, so with the stochastic dynamic programming, basically you solve the problem stage by stage. And the immediate cost function represents how much you would have in terms of thermal generation. And, of course, the more you use of thermal plants, the less you need to use of hydro, which means that you can have more hydro for the future, and therefore the future cost function decreases. The whole problem in stochastic dynamic programming is, of course, getting the future cost function. The traditional approach is to discretize states, and as we know, this leads to the curse of dimensionality. If I try to do this with a 2, 3, 4 state variables, in particular reservoirs, the number of combination explodes. The whole trick with a stochastic dual DP is, first of all, instead of getting all combination of storages, we use the system simulations to suggest a quote-unquote interesting states. Therefore, we avoid making calculations into states which are unlikely. And also, we have a piecewise linear approximation of future cost function. The advantage of the piecewise linear approximation of the future cost function is that I can extrapolate. That is, I don't have to go and do all the combinations of extreme points, which leads to the curse of dimensionality. SDP is very similar to multi-stage band decomposition. It has existed for a long time, and there is a lot of experience with SDP. I'll just mention a very simplified representation of the one-stage operation problem. So basically, as I mentioned, we want to minimize operation costs of the thermal plants. The thermal plants are indexed by J. So CJ is dollar per megawatt hour of the thermal plant J. GT tau J is the energy produced by plant J in hour tau of stage T. And alpha T plus one is the future cost function, which depends on the final storage. The storages, the hydro, are indexed by I, and VT plus 1I is the storage of plant I at the end of the stage. Next set of equations is storage balance. Volume at the end of the stage is equal to volume at the beginning of the stage plus the water that comes in, AQI, minus the turbine outflow. The energy produced by the plants is the product of the turbine outflow times the production coefficient, which translates into hourly hydro production. And the poly, the hourly hydro production plus the hourly thermal production goes into the power balance equations, which is the next equation. That is, hydro generation plus thermal generation equal to demand less the renewable production, like wind and hydro, wind and solar, and so on. And then, as I had mentioned, the future cost function is a piecewise linear representation, lots of hyperplanes. This, in the simplified version, this translates into an LP, and the LP is solved by relaxation of the future cost function constraints, which this is important to note because this has to do with the other computation tricks that I'm going to mention later. SDP, the standard way of solving SDP, you have three steps. the forward simulation, that is, you use your current version of the future cost function to do a probabilistic simulation of system operation for example, 1,000 scenarios. And then this produces new states and produces an upper bound, because if you don't have the optimal future cost function, you necessarily get an upper bound. Then for this set of states, you go backwards and you update your future cost function, and then produces a lower bound. And the convergence check is statistical. Basically, you verify if the lower bound is in the confidence interval of the upper bound. Both the forward and the backward simulation steps, they can be done in an asynchronous way, which has an advantage, as I mentioned before, that you can use the distributed processing. We have been using computer networks since 2001 in the prehistory, and when Amazon started their cloud service, we were one of the first clients of Amazon. I understand that we are the first clients in South America in any area. And we currently have 500 virtual servers, each with 16 CPUs and 900 GPUs. The distributed processing, there was an animation here, which unfortunately is not appearing. Basically, each of the color trajectories represent the different simulation, all of them in parallel. The same thing applies with the backward recursion. So all of the openings in the backward recursion, you are representing possible inflows given the current states. They can be carried out in parallel. Each of them contributes to a hyperplane, and you pass to the previous stage the set of hyperplanes in this iteration. So in the forward simulation, I have, for example, 1,000 scenarios. Each of the backwards recursions produces 1,000 new hyperplanes for the future cost function. An example of SDP run with distributed processing, this is a Brazilian system. Brazil is the same size as United States plus continental United States, half Alaska. The installed capacity, 125,000 megawatts. The country has 106 large hydro plants, about 150 thermal plants, all kinds, gas, coal, oil, and nuclear, and plus wind, biomass, and so on. The transmission network is 5,000 buses, 7,000 circuits, probably the same size as roughly the same size as Europe. In terms of stochastic dynamic programming, it would be a SDP problem with 400 state variables. And this study was run in training stages, 10 years. Each stage, monthly stage, was with just three load blocks. Each iteration, you use 1,200 scenarios. In the backward, you use 30 scenarios, which means that we solve 36,000 one-stage problems in each iteration per stage. And the total number of iterations until convergence, upper lower bounds converge 10. But the total execution time is 90 minutes because you can do this in this case, we use 25 servers, each with 16 processors. And SDP, as I mentioned, has been used in lots of countries in different planning situations. But more recently, we are worried about the problem of bigger introduction of renewables, because the variability of wind and especially wind, also a little bit of solar, makes it a problem. For example, in the Bonneville Power Administration, Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of wind spill. And Brazil is building, we already have close to 10,000 megawatts of wind. We're building 10,000 more. And we know that this requires hourly resolution. But the problem is, as you can see in the graph, that the computational effort increases tremendously as you increase the number of intra stages. That is, it's one thing to model 1 month by 5 load blocks. Another thing is to model 1 month with 730 load blocks. And so the what we call the ATOM, that is a solution of one-stage problem, became a headache. And we decided that we could use a trick, which is to represent the immediate cost function, which was implicitly represented as the power balance equations per hour and so on, as I've seen, it becomes a function. So it's marked in red here. So beta is the mid cost function. Alpha is the future cost function. Beta depends on the vector of hydrogeneration, total hydrogeneration along the stage. And in this case, the one-stage problem just has the storage balance, which you have seen, the total hydrogeneration, instead of detailing the total hydrogeneration, hourly hydrogeneration as we did before, the same future cost function that you have seen, and now we have a piecewise linear immediate cost function. So this one-stage problem does not see, quote-unquote, the detail of the intrastage operation, which means that it doesn't matter in terms of the SDP if I solve problems with 5-minute intervals, 15-minute intervals, or hourly intervals. And also, the immediate cost function, which is piecewise linear, I can solve with the same relaxation techniques that I solve the future cost function, which has proven to be very effective. The question is, how do I calculate this immediate cost function? This has been seen as a multi-scaling technique. Basically, I have some devices which are slow dynamics and have lots of ability to transfer power from one stage to the other. That's why they are state variables. And I have other devices which are have a much more shorter duration, which is wind and so on. So basically, you see that beta is a linear programming problem in which there is a coupling constraint, which is the summation of the hydro generation along the hours is equal to the target, which is the parameter of the function. All the rest are the hourly balances. This is a linear programming problem, which means that the beta is a piecewise linear function of ET, and I want to pre-calculate all vertices, all breakpoints of this piecewise function. And how we do this? We're actually inspired by something called the low duration curve probabilistic production costing technologies that were developed in the 1980s. The first thing you do is, of course, you remove the coupling constraints. So the Lagrange multiplier associated with the coupling constraint, the summation of a hydro over the hours equal to the target, is called the water value. And interestingly enough, there you can show that there are only J, big J, different water values, which corresponds to hydro being cheaper than the cheapest thermal plant, hydro being within the after the first thermal plant in terms of costs, and cheaper than the second, hydro is being more expensive than the first two thermal plants, but cheaper than the third one, and so on. And which means that I know beforehand that there are only J multipliers, and I know beforehand the value of those multipliers, the water values. But better than that, I can we can show that I only need to use two of the water values. The first water value, that is hydro cheaper than anything, and the last water value, hydro most expensive than anything. And for these two water values, then I decompose the problem into 730 one-hour thermal dispatch problems. And this can be done even more efficiently because for this type of problem, you can show that the economic operation, that is, finding least cost thermal dispatch, can be decomposed into, again, J, supply reliability problems. This has to do with the fact that first I use the cheapest plants, and second I use the second cheapest plant, and so on. So this linear programming problem has a special structure, and as a consequence, we can also calculate how much I generate of each thermal plant by doing a very simple calculation. What is the unserved energy, the energy that's not supplied, after the before I put plant number 3 in operation, and after I put plant number 3 in operation. So the problem decomposes into just reliability problems, which in this case is just arithmetic operations. So you can do the calculations very, very quickly, and it's real fast to produce the piecewise linear function. We also extended the technique to multiple areas. So the same logic applies. The problem decomposes into two water-value problems, which in turn decomposes into a multi-area reliability evaluations, which can be solved by Maxwell algorithms. But in this case, because we don't have a large number of areas, it goes up to 6, 7, it was much faster to use max flow mean cuts, which again translates into finding the maximum of values, which is just an arithmetic operation, so it becomes very efficient. But to show one example of application, it's Central America. There was a nice picture of Central America, which in the PowerPoint that you have the copies, you'll see. Basically, it's 6 countries, and you see that each country has a different combination of renewables, thermal plants, and hydro. And the Central America is operated as a pool. It's one of the most sophisticated, although it's not very large in size in terms of regulation and institutions, one of the most sophisticated in the world. And it has to operate now in an hourly basis in the stochastic optimization because of the big penetration of renewables there. And if you use the detailed hourly simulation, and compare in terms of operation costs, if you use the analytical cost function in terms of the total execution time, if you're running one country of Central America, it's the analytical immediate cost function leads to 300 times the speed up. If you're operating with two systems, so it's a little bit more complicated, leads to a bit more than 300 times the speed up. And you're listening?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
No, you're listening okay, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. If you operate three systems, three countries, because the operation is more complicated, the speed up goes to 440 times. So it has been very useful. And we are currently researching two things. We figured out that we can also put batteries in this immediate cost function, which is nice because there are a very large number of batteries in the you know when you're looking at possible technologies and ways to solve. And so you can represent all of the batteries. The difference is that the max network flow problem becomes bigger. But then there are very good techniques, all of things related to machine learning. There are nice techniques for solving max network flow, so we're investing on that. And we also found a new formulation that allows for unit commitments and also a more detailed transmission network. Right now we are limited to areas between countries. So we should be reporting on this new development soon. So this finishes the probabilistic production costing part, and then we go to the supply reliability module. Supply reliability module is basically Monte Carlo. So we sample equipment outages, generation outages, transmission outages. We sample renewable production. We sample loads, and then we carry out a supply reliability evaluation, which is pretty much the same max network flow that you've seen in the operation problem. The difficulty here, let's say there's nothing new here, but the number of samples is very large. And you have to have hundreds of thousands of samples per stage, which leads to a very high computational effort. And the thing we have been working on is GPUs, okay? GPUs can provide a lot of power. The problem with GPUs is, as you all know, is limited to some types of operation. Particularly, GPUs are very good for solving linear systems, AX X equal to B S for a lot of S's. And the nice thing is that because of max flow mean cuts, we can have GPU application to the multi-area reliability evaluation problem. Here are some results using a notebook. All notebooks have GPUs now. If you have 40 million samples, you have a speed up of 124 times. If you use an Amazon server, which has 1,500 GPUs, with 40 million samples, you get the speed ups of more than 300 times. And last week, Amazon just announced their new server, which are kind of beginning to play with, that has 40,000 GPU cores. It's going to be very interesting to test the speed up. Things that we're doing right now, we are applicating GPUs to the analytical functions, future cost function and immediate cost function, because they're hyperplanes, and we always look at the maximum hyperplanes, same kind of algebraic operations that GPUs are good for. And also, there's, you know, because of the limits in this presentation, there are very nice variance reduction techniques. Basically, we figured out that integration of a cross entropy with Monte Carlo Markov chain can lead to very good results. We'll be publishing a paper about this. There are gains of up to three orders of magnitude. So this and GPUs would make the multi-area reliability evaluation problem very manageable. Now for some examples of actual planning applications, go back to the whole thing. There's an investment module, there's an operation module, there's a reliability module. And we have one example is Morocco and Spain. Basically, Morocco is a country that has a very diverse set of technologies, lots of thermal. They're increasing their renewables, and they also have a lot of hydro. The study we carried out for Morocco, it's 15 years. There are yearly investment decisions, but the operation decisions are weekly. So it's 700 weekly operation stages, and each weekly stage is 21 blocks. So it is as if each day of the week would be represented by three blocks. And this is a convergence of a band as a composition. So as I mentioned, the blue line is the lower bound. The orange line is the upper bound. And because it's useless to carry out the multi-area reliability evaluation before I have a reasonable plan in terms of energy, we wait a little bit. First, we do just investment and then FTDP and then optimality cuts. And after some iterations, in this case 17, we do investment, operations, and multi-area. So operations send optimality cuts, multi-area sends feasibility cuts. And in the lower part of the figure, you see the variation of expected energy not supplied, which is the reliability target. And you see the model reaching the reliability targets. And in the upper part of the figure, you see upper and lower bounds. So after 65 iterations, we found the optimal solution with 1% tolerance. This is the execution times. It took, if I did not apply the new techniques, the analytical ICF and the GPUs, it would take 14 hours. But with ICF plus GPU, it takes 22 minutes. So there is a very nice speed up. And this is the optimal plan. You see a big penetration of renewables, which, again, reinforces the need for the hourly resolution or bigger resolution. Second example is just to show other things. In this case, it's integrated generation transmission plan, in which we represent the actual transmission network. In the case of Bolivia, it has 140 buses, and has 127 circuits. You can see the Bolivian system. Bolivian system is very much natural gas dependent, but they have biomass, and they also have hydro. And in the lower graph, you see the short-run marginal cost before the reinforcement. So you see that the short-run marginal costs go to $4,000 per megawatt hour, which means that you need a lot of reinforcement. And there are also all kinds of constraints on the transmission network. In this case, the study had 180 stages. There were 9,980 binary variables in the investment module, 90 candidate projects, sorry, close to 900 versus 9 years. The number of vendors iterations when up and lower bound converged was 55 in this case. The SDP itself converged on the average for each candidate in 5 iterations, total execution time 4 hours. This with a 2-service 16 process. So we did not use any of the acceleration tricks that I just mentioned. And you see there the convergence, the vendors convergence. The lower graph in the figure is the short-run marginal cost, the same ones that before exploded to $4,000 per megawatt hour. Now all of them are on the order of $60 and $70 per megawatt hour, which shows that this is a reasonable expansion plan. And in the right-hand figure, you see the optimal expansion. And the last item that I'd like to show you is what we call a hierarchical generation transmission planning. This is also related with the Central America, because in the Central America system, the big interconnections among countries is jointly decided by their regional planning committee, but the detailed transmission reinforcement inside each country is carried out independently. So what we do in this case is that we run an expansion plan in which the higher level decisions are the generation expansion plus the big interconnections, and then this decomposes into 6 separate transmission planning problems, which are represented as MIPS, mixed integer programming, but with a very large number of scenarios. It's close to 1,000 operation scenarios. So you're trying to solve robust optimization for each of the countries, which we solved, again, by using decomposition. And this is the Central America system is bigger. It has 2,000 buses and 2,100 lines. We go, I'll jump over the generation expansion, go to the network plan. And the interesting thing is that this is done also in parallel. So you end up by being able to carry out the expansion plan of each of the countries under certainty in a reasonable time. And so the conclusion basically of this presentation is, you know, there is out there extensive experience with the application of stochastic scheduling and planning models, large-scale systems. I think that, of course, we have a bias, but we think that banded decomposition and SDP are a nice way to model these all of these problems. They allow, in particular, detailed modeling, generation, transmission, and so on. And I think that the multivariate autoregressive models plus Markov chains plus Monte Carlo allows us to model a lot of the uncertainties. It's a nice combination of modeling techniques. And as I showed you, both the analytical ICF and GPUs are recent enhancements which have allowed us to reduce very substantially execution times, which has in turn allowed us to represent the hourly resolution that is a big challenge now with renewables. And we think that there is a lot more space for GPUs, which, again, kind of by luck, they, in the same way that CPUs, distributed CPUs match very well with SDP, distributed GPUs match very well the piecewise linear representation of immediate and future cost functions. That's basically it, and I would like, again, to thank all of you for the patience, and very happy that I have had the opportunity to make this presentation.
Well, thank you very much, Mario, for a very nice and impressive presentation. So I think, well, as usual, we'll try to see if some of the audience out there would like to ask any questions to Mario. Any questions of the people who are connected would like to ask a question? I think I tend to be a little shy.
I can ask a question, Ignacio. So thank you,
sure.
Mario, for the talk. This is Dimitri from ExxonMobil. I had a question about when you're doing transmission planning multiple years into the future, do you include, you mentioned a DC representation, so do you include a binary variable for some future years so that if you build that line, then the DC flow is going to change? Because you have to compute all these shift factors in advance then if you're going to do that representation. So I was curious how you do that.
Yes. First of all, it's a multi-year representation, so I have investments for year one, which in turn become existing variable, existing circuits for year two, and so on. And we do represent both Kirchhoff's laws. So we represent the power balance in each system. We represent the limits that the flow in line K less than or equal max flow in line K times the investment variable. And we represent Kirchhoff's second law. That's a tricky one. The way we represent Kirchhoff's second law is FK minus gamma, which is the reactance K, times the angular difference. So gamma is a number, angular difference is a variable, less than equal to big M, 1 minus XK. In other words, we can represent Kirchhoff's second law, which is a nonlinear product of the angular difference times the binary decision. We're using a binary expansion. And the big trick is the big M, okay? We have developed techniques we joke called the little big M. We actually are able to calculate the smallest possible big M that makes the problem still correct. You can find the optimal solution. And this has meant a really big change. For example, when we did the work for WECC, the Western Coordination Council, all the planning of the West Coast of the United States, you can solve the 2,000 bus system, which was the representation they gave us with several hundred candidates and lots of scenarios. You can solve this in minutes. And so the two tricks are it becomes a huge MIP. Second trick is that you use a little big M. And the third trick is that we put additional constraints. We put, for example, constraints that the total power leaving a certain area, the sum of the capacities of the lines of the total power leaving a certain area should be feasible and so on. This, if you're interested, I can send you papers about this. But this is something that, let's say, it's a true optimal or true modeling of the DC flow network for transmission planning.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Any other question out there? How about here? Anybody in the audience has a question? Well, I do have two basic questions, Mario. The first one, you mentioned the issue of reliability, but was not very clear to me. Do you impose a given level of reliability that you have to meet? So in other words, it's like a constraint, or do you somehow establish the optimal level for reliability?
So as I mentioned, we impose a reliability constraint. For example, the in this case was that the expected energy not supplied in the worst case should be less than 0.1% of the peak loads, okay? And those reliability constraints usually come from a mixture of, let's say, the standards in the country and some economic considerations. And because, as I mentioned, if you, for example, have a fully, let's say, majority thermal system, peak supply reliability is a big thing. You don't really have energy problems. If you have a large hydro system, usually energy, you are energy constrained. Systems are becoming both, because of renewables, are becoming both what we call energy constrained and peak constrained. And so we tend to represent the peak reliability problems as targets, as standards that you have to meet. The most usual is expected energy not supplied because a risk is a non-convex constraint. but we like also CIVAR. We have had done work. We think that CIVAR on the expected energy not supply is a very nice index for reliability, and it's also linear, so you can produce feasibility cuts.
Right. Thank you. And maybe one more. It caught my attention when you mentioned that both the forward and backward step could be done simultaneously. Can you elaborate on that? Because it would seem to me, again, unless I don't quite understand very well the basic methodology, that those would have to be inherently sequential. So can you elaborate to what you meant when you could do simultaneously?
For example, in the forward step, I'm simulating the operation of the system for stage one, scenario one.
Right.
So for stage one, scenario one, it sees the initial stage, it sees the local demand and so on, and it sees the future cost function, okay?
Right.
If I'm doing the same problem for scenario two, the problem for scenario two has nothing to do with the problem for scenario one, so they can be solved in parallel. So for the forward simulation step, the simulation of the system operation for stage one for all of the scenarios is pretty much the same. And the simulation, and maybe that's the point you were mentioning, and I was not clear. Of course, to simulate stage two for scenario one, I need to simulate stage one first. So when I say that they are independent is if I have 1,000 inflow scenarios, if I use 1,000 inflow scenarios for 60 stages, I can use 1,000 servers, okay, to solve each of the trajectories independently. But, of course, I need to solve stage one of each of the scenarios before I solve stage two. Is that clear?
Yeah. No, I think that you made it now very clear. Really, really can appreciate very much the...
On the backwards scheme, it's pretty much the same. So if I am in stage number 17 and I'm opening 30... possible scenarios. Each of the scenario can be solved separately, but then the average has to be synchronized. Okay. And what happens is that I can either do this putting synchronous points at each stage, so I can solve the 1,000 times 30 scenarios for stage number 17. Independent, but then I synchronize them, or I can do what we call the asynchronous convergence, in which maybe one of the scenarios is on the backwards, is already on stage 12, going, and the other is kind of lagging and on stage 23. The big advantage of doing synchronous is that when I go and solve in a cloud or when I go and solve in my computer, the results are pretty much the same. Whereas if I go asynchronous, it's much harder to control, let's say, to be able to reproduce the results. We are toying with actually making some experiments with a completely asynchronous SDP, in which we would have one server with as many CPUs as we need for each stage. So if it's a 60-stage problem, there would be one server per stage, so the server would be specialized for that stage, which saves us a lot of communication and use of memory. And then each stage would be a machine that sends storage for the next stage, receives cuts from the next stage, receives storage from the previous stage and sends cuts to the previous stage, but completely synchronous. We joke, we call this SDDP VL, Vida Loca, because this is going to be a very completely different convergence. We hope that this will lead to interesting results. Apparently convergence, but that's ongoing research.
Okay, well, on the note of the Vida Loca, now again, let me thank you so much for an outstanding presentation, Mario. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And also thank you, the audience, for listening to him. Thank you. Bye-bye.